Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I hope today's video finds you and yours very well. Today, I gotta talk about Oprah Winfrey. This is a random topic in a vacuum, but we're not talking about it in a vacuum. We're talking about it in context of the speech, the very good speech she gave at the Golden Globes, and how this has kind of created a furor around her to run for president, something she's apparently seeking out, something she's apparently thinking about doing. And I think this reaction, this guttural reaction that we have to just find anyone, anywhere to replace Donald Trump is a huge mistake. And that's what I wanted to kind of dedicate this video to, because we're just looking at shiny objects, but we're not looking at the people that can actually solve problems and help us as a country. And so without further ado, here's what I think about the situation. I hope you enjoy. There's a term we need to keep in mind as we move towards the 2018 midterm elections, and more importantly, as we hurtle towards the 2020 presidential race: overcompensation. The age of Trump has complicated American politics to such a disruptive and outright insane degree that we've not seen this level of political erosion and degradation since the days leading up to the Civil War. It's only natural that we want to jerk the wheel in a different direction, because these are profoundly strange times. Even in instances of great turmoil, the political reality of America was a steady beacon of consistency and reliability. The same president who came to power during some of the scariest days of the Great Depression, FDR, remained our president through almost the entirety of World War II. A steadying and experienced hand guided us through two of the worst things that ever happened to this nation, back to back to the same generations of people. Just as we had a steadying and experienced hand in Eisenhower during the Cold War's nascent days, or in Theodore Roosevelt during the tumultuous turn of the century, or in George Washington during those uncharted first days of the Republic. We lack a steadying hand of any kind now, and it can lead to decisions even more rash than the ones we made to get us here to begin with. Now, I'm not one of these people who think Donald Trump's occupancy of the Oval Office marks the end of the world. I'm of the mind that deep hyperbole has taken root, and in fact, I've been pretty vocal that we're going to very easily survive this era. Depending on how everything plays out, maybe we'll even have something to show for it. A stronger economy, or a more streamlined tax system, or a comprehensive immigration reform, or something else. Possibly even all of the above. I believe too much in our system, our checks and balances, our integrity, and our intuitive ability to collectively persevere to believe in any one man's ability to take down our country. We aren't Germany or Italy or Japan. Strongmen have no meaningful place in our history. You can't point to a single example, not one, even in times of chaos. Trump hasn't changed that, and he's not going to change that. So let's just get that out there, because I'm not at all trying to be alarmist. Alarmism of its own brand brought us here in November of 2016. But just because Donald Trump is unlikely to lead us into nuclear annihilation or tank our markets doesn't mean that he should hold the job he currently holds, or that there aren't 10,000 better candidates for the job floating out there in the ether. Likewise, it doesn't mean that this entire ordeal we've gone through as a nation, irrespective of where you fall ideologically, can and won't have a lingering effect on America's institutions, because it will. It absolutely will. Of course it will. And what's sad about that is that unlike the however many years that we'll have him as president, which we have no control over on a day-to-day basis, we can absolutely control that lingering effect. We can stop ourselves from careening off of a cliff and making mountains out of molehills and overcompensating. We hold all of the cards. And that's what makes this recent Oprah hullabaloo all the more distressing, because it represents classic and possibly even catastrophic overcompensation. Put simply, we aren't learning the right lessons. We're instead risking doubling down on old mistakes with a new glossy facade. We're not turning the wheel slightly and getting back on the road. We're threatening to jack the wheel 90 degrees to the left and call it an improvement. Maybe it is an improvement. That's a totally subjective call. But it's certainly not the best we can do. Trump doesn't represent the best and brightest of American politics, nor does Oprah, Dwayne Johnson, or the other celebrity names being thrown about. We shouldn't shy away from expertise, knowledge, and experience in order to combat a lack of expertise, knowledge, and experience. It makes no sense. All of this isn't meant to disrespect Oprah Winfrey, a woman I admire and respect, a tour de force who, I'll come right out and say it, is far in excess more qualified to be president than the man she would hypothetically seek to unseat. Winfrey came up in absolutely terrible circumstances, abused and neglected while growing up in abject poverty. Oprah is absolutely, positively one of the ultimate American bootstrap stories, a true realization of the American dream, and is today worth an astounding $3 billion. She built an empire virtually unrivaled by other black and particularly female black entrepreneurs. Her story is compelling, it's real, and it resonates with a broad swath of Americans who have come to know, trust, and like her over the last 35 years. She is a one-word brand, a self-made woman who can finance her own campaign, who exudes power and intelligence and strong-headedness and savvy. In some ways, she is a great package, but she's the package that's blinking in front of you right now, too. Sometimes it's hard to tell what's what in these circumstances. She's a distraction. She's what happens when you take your eye off the prize. She's what happens when you look for simple solutions, but not necessarily the right solutions. Giving her potential candidacy oxygen is a mistake that proves we've learned nothing at all. Oprah is smart and sophisticated, but she's also another celebrity, and none of us really know what she's capable of outside of the entertainment industry, where she's clearly capable of a great deal. She's frankly another person who is incredibly smart in her world, but a person who would probably be far out of her depth in the White House. A person with significant political, structural, and ideological deficits, not because she's stupid, but because she's disconnected. Another person who hasn't spoken out on all or even many or some of the issues. Put forwardly, she's an easy choice for a lazy and apathetic population who don't want to put too much effort into finding the right one. That anyone is excited about this speaks to deep, systemic dysfunction that says a lot more about all of us than about Donald Trump or Oprah Winfrey. I'll ask all of you out there what I recently asked a friend of mine who is at least keeping an open mind about a Winfrey 2020 candidacy. What does she believe in? What are her policy stances? What problems do you think she's best equipped to solve? If she's such an obvious and even heroic answer to our national plight, then you better damn well have compelling answers to those questions. And let's be honest with each other, friends, you don't. You have no idea whatsoever who Oprah really is or what Oprah really believes. Doesn't that sound awfully familiar? Like the other side of a coin you just flipped in the air, perhaps? She's an oasis, and many of you out there are thirsty. I get it. But the promise of an entertainment mogul savior that will save us from the other entertainment mogul savior is, well, farcical, and we need to identify it as such. Like Trump, Oprah is a mirage, and because so much hope is rising on who and what's next, that mirage has the potential to be devastating once discovered for what it is. We've had celebrity presidents. The aforementioned George Washington is probably the biggest celebrity president contemporary to his time in the history of the United States, and has since taken on an almost deified status. In fact, the first five presidents of the USA, Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe, were all beloved, trusted, and revered celebrities the world over, born out of the American Revolution, men who risked their lives, fortunes, and honor in tribute to a cause that was unlikely to win, but won nonetheless, partially through their tireless efforts. The trend continued onward with the likes of Andrew Jackson and Zachary Taylor, war heroes both, the aforementioned Theodore Roosevelt, who was all about glory and vanity with the press and the public, to the beloved JFK and his gorgeous wife Jackie, who rode good looks and the right words to public office, right on up to, well, Barack Obama, the quintessential modern-day celebrity cross-president, and many in between, of course, including some challengers who fell short. There's a big difference between those men, Donald Trump and Oprah Winfrey, however, because they were battle-tested and had relevant experience. Public service, military service, political service. Perhaps the last word being the most unfortunately important. They were inherently political, many of them downright wonkish in their approach to policy and understanding the domestic and international political landscapes, and they had experience, in some significant regard, that prepared them for the job at hand. For some of these people, attaining the presidency marks the ultimate ascension they always dreamed about. Before Trump, I often thought that a CEO type would be a slam dunk to run the White House effectively, if just given the chance. And maybe it's just Trump that's not fit, and not the archetype he fits. But I'm not filled with nearly as much hope for an outsider, celebrity or business-centric president as I was, say, 2 or 3 years ago. Business experience is huge, but it's totally normal to now wonder if it translates. This is, after all, the world's biggest job. To be president, you have to know what you don't know, and Donald Trump seems to know next to nothing about the role he finds himself in. You have to have connections, understand policy and politics, and parliamentary rules. You need to surround yourself with the best, brightest, most informed, and most capable people, and trust those around you to do what's right. Once a normal president achieves the office, he often finds himself surrounded by people he's worked with and trusted for years, and sometimes decades, self-starters and decision-makers that lubricate the government's engines with knowledge of how things work. Trump has done none of that. He has none of that. Is it unfair to tether that to Winfrey? It definitely is. But we have every right to be cautious now. We have every right to look warily at these easy, frankly mundane choices, and double, triple, and quadruple check our most noble instincts. Politics isn't about fairness, especially when it comes to how we treat, judge, and sift through our elected officials. Politics is about another F word, fitness. A person's fitness to be president is paramount. What they bring to the table must be larger than their personality, their stature, their bank accounts, their media empire, or the strength of their gravity well. The furor surrounding Oprah Winfrey, particularly following her powerful Golden Globe speech, is a vivid representation of how far we've fallen as a society, how little we expect of those who govern us, and how we can't even be bothered to have standards anymore. Instead of looking for aspirational future leaders, we fall back on what we know and are comfortable with. I hate to tell you, it's not going to work. A man as electorally vulnerable and deeply and chronically disliked as Donald Trump sits in office, and we immediately dash towards the celebrity, but not the many decent people with big minds waiting in the wings that actually have the expertise, desire, and drive to do the job. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We will get the politicians we deserve, and we deserve better than those the spotlight immediately draws to. Serious people with serious ideas, ideas you can actually name. Let's not overcompensate. Let's not jerk the wheel. Let's instead return to a more reliable playbook and stop calling reckless audibles. We've wasted enough time. We can't afford to waste anymore. Well, that's it for this episode of Collins Last Stand. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think in the comments below. And of course, you can always thumb up the video if you liked it and thumb it down if you don't. Also, please share the video with friends and family and let them know about the might, the majesty, and the wonder of Collins Last Stand. Thank you for all of your love, your support, your generosity. I really do appreciate you. I'll see you next time for more Collins Last Stand. Keep on learning.